And we are back. It is the Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM, and you've been listening to Sidewinder by Lee Morgan, and the author of a great book called The Lady Who Shot Lee Morgan. Harry Thomas was in town recently and was on our show. It's a great book, great music. And now we are very fortunate to have in a studio with us Ted Schmidt, who has written a number of books. He's a retired teacher, and he's an excellent site called Theology in the Vineyard. And, of course, the book, Never Neutral, A Teacher's Life. And Shabbos Goy, and this, I love this subtitle, a Catholic Boyhood on a Jewish Street in Protestant Toronto.
Yeah, I got everybody in
there. Who is it? It's certainly urban historians that have come and look you up. You should take people take guided walks. You should take people for walks around your old neighborhood. You could tell a lot of history. But anyway, welcome to the show. Good
Thank
to see you,
Bill. Nice to be here.
Yeah, we're on a couple of missions today. Well, one I want to ask you. I just was telling people that the Gaza, the women's boat. This is the distinction. The women's boat to Gaza,
right,
is closing in on that territory where they might be scooped up. Certainly, the Israeli.
Yeah.
Navy is not enthusiastic about visits to unauthorized, unaccompanied visits to Gaza. Have you been following your?
Yeah.
You've worked in that region. You've been to the Middle East a number of times?
Yeah. Three times.
Three times.
Yeah.
And so give me your thoughts about what they sort of can expect.
Well,
what the problem is that they're addressing.
This is a brilliant move, I think. They're not purporting to bring loads of material in. It's more or less to put the spotlight on what Gaza is. And so, as you said at the start of your show, they have very interesting internationals, people. And I was really stunned by one woman who's on one of these boats, and she nails it. And it's rather impressive to me that she's a well-known kind of a soap opera star in the States. She's been on a number of series. And her name is Elisa Gay Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And her statement just really sums up what the issue is. And I'd just like to read what she said. This is the type of people they have on these boats. She says this: "I'm here because I'm concerned about the effects of war and blockade on the women, on schools, on hospitals, and homes have been periodically destroyed and sources of power and water compromised. I'm here because 1.8 million Gazans are trapped in what is often described as a giant open-air prison. I'm here for the 299 women and 551 children who were killed in the 2014 assault, and for the over 40,000 pregnant women deprived of basic reproductive health services as a consequence of the blockade and the devastation caused by war. I'm here because the siege on Gaza waged by both Egypt and Israel violates the Geneva Convention's prohibition on collective punishment." And she goes on to talk about the $3.1 billion that the United States are giving Israel for 10 years. This is impressive to me, Phil, because she's an actress. And you find very few people in that world that are willing to speak out because their work depends on it. And
it's like these athletes, like Kaepernick.
You
put everything at risk.
That's right.
It's amazing courage.
A very, very great courage. But she points out that this is an open-air prison. You cannot get in. You cannot get out. And even the fishermen get shot and picked up and their boats destroyed over in international waters. So it's a disgusting situation that the world has too long forgotten. But I think that there was a moment in history in 2014, as she points out, that when the world was so disgusted with 551 children in a slaughter. I mean, these people don't have an army. They're victimized by F-16 helicopters, by Apache helicopters, by Merkava tanks, by the fourth most powerful army in the world. They're sitting ducks. Mm-hmm. And so this has really disgusted a lot of American Jews. yes. who traditionally are people of conscience, are people who have always supported the underdog. Mm-hmm. So these are the type of people that get on these boats. They know that they're going to be picked off. Now, because mm-hmm. they're women, Israel, of course, will not brutalize them or murder them like they did the 10 people on the Turkish ship.
Yes, the Turkish ship, yeah.
Yeah. So they've got great supports. They were in France. They headed out and then to Sardinia and then to Sicily, and now they're in the Mediterranean on their way. So we can expect that they will be picked up. And
yeah, probably between 4 more within this week, I'd suspect.
Yeah.
I think they're expected off the coast about October 1st.
Yeah, but, you know, I was just spent an hour and a half with a brilliant Palestinian lawyer named Jonathan Kattab, who pointed out...
Only just now.
Ted
Schmitz lives in a very interesting world.
Well, anyway.
Theology in a Vineyard. By the way, be sure you go to that site because you'll probably write about it.
Yeah, I'll write about it.
Well, I'm twisting his arm, so I...
He is just so on top of it. You know, he's a native Palestinian. And he just points out that the big difference now is that Israel has gone so far right that it is very uncomfortable for American Jews. Mm-hmm. And many of them are abandoning Zionism and Israel as it stands today. So we don't know, he says, when the wall is going to fall. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. And the last article by the hero, the prophet, I call him, in Israel, mm-hmm. Gideon Levy, says that Netanyahu has won for the time being because the country's gone so far right wing. But Kattab says, you know, and I agreed with him, you never know when this accumulation of people going to Gaza, of the BDS, of so many people going to Israel, when the wall itself will fall. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Yeah. But as Martin King used to say, the arc of history tends towards justice. And mm-hmm. and occupations, it's coming on 50 years. It cannot last because it's evil.
Yeah, and the difficulties and stress and strains of the empire in the neighborhood. You know, countries like Turkey, which one day it appears to be blue, the next day it is white.
Yeah.
And then you say, I wonder what's going to be in a week. I mean, if we're, and this, that shows tremendous stress in those societies.
It does.
And
you know,
will impact, they impact each other.
Yeah.
You know, if one guy falls, there has to be an adjustment in the neighborhood.
The irony is that 50,000 Israelis have left for Berlin and are living. Isn't that an ironic statement? The Israelis can't take it, so they go to a country that's fairly open where they're welcomed, and more people are leaving Israel than ever before. They just can't take it because the country has become a caricature. Mm-hmm. And so that's a very, very good sign.
Well, this issue, you wrote an article recently. You had the perfect... You coined the phrase, it's the occupation stupid.
Yeah.
In other words, all this problem, stress and strain and the rhetoric and the hatred keeps coming back. You have territory which the international community and international law says these territories are occupied. And international law applies.
Right.
And I want to actually try an idea on you. I watched Clovis Massoud. Do you remember Clovis Massoud? Clovis Massoud was a scholar who used to be the spokesperson for the Arab states. He was a very eloquent man and very considered in his words. He sort of lost out somewhere politically and became a professor, but he died recently, and everybody started talking about how brilliant Clovis was. And so I checked a YouTube of him, Clovis, speaking, and he was quite old, but he says, I only came here today because I want to correct people's language. He said, we keep saying occupation, but if someone, an army, enters a country and they begin to build houses and farms and an economy, the correct word is conquest.
Yeah.
He said, it's not. I thought, well, that's helpful. I know that we will all go on saying occupation.
Yeah.
But he reminded everybody that, you see, the difference when you are actually occupying and you begin to add an infrastructure and move in other foreigners into that territory, there really is no other word than conquest. That's what the Spaniards call it, and the Americans and the British and the French when they were capturing territory.
Yeah. Well, language is very important, as we know, and up until the last number of years, Israel has controlled the narrative. But injustice cannot last forever. The Palestinians are very, very smart people, the best educated Arabs in the world. And they've been organizing for a long time, and they've asked the West, and this is where I come in. As a Roman Catholic, I'm disgusted that nobody has responded to the 2009 Kairos Statement. You remember the Kairos Statement about South Africa? It was very, very crucial, asking Christians in the West to extend some solidarity. But in 2009, all of the Christian churches, the patriarch, the highest-ranking Catholic, has said, we need your help. It's a sin. What is going on here? People are being humiliated on a day-to-day basis. And right now, it's what one great writer in the United States coined many years, Holocaust mania still seems to reign, is that people are very reticent to criticize the Israeli state because of Holocaust. But I always tell people, look, you got to read a book called The Holocaust is Over by the former Speaker of the House. He said, we got to get past this. Avraham Berg, The Holocaust is Over.
Speaker of the House of the United States?
No, in the Knesset.
Oh, in the Knesset.
Oh, yeah.
That's his book.
That's his book. The Holocaust is Over, Time to Rise from the Ashes. Look, this is a state. It's
well, by the way, let me just
remind
our listeners while we're talking about this. This is Ted Schmidt, Theology in the Vineyard, but you were the one in the Catholic system here in Toronto, or certainly if not the one, one of those who introduced Holocaust studies.
Yes. Yes, I found out that I was really ahead of even Israel. Nobody was teaching the Holocaust as I was in 1968, I began.
I really find that surprising.
Well, it is surprising, but the big change in Israel was the Six-Day War when Jews began.
67, yeah.
Yeah, and it began, you know, that they felt that trauma, and that trauma led them back to the original trauma of the Holocaust.
So it was at that time that you thought it was important.
Well, yeah, because I grew up in a Jewish community. Mm-hmm. And I was disgusted by the racism that I experienced being the only non-Jew on baseball teams, and I got all of the abuse. And
you were being attacked as a Jew?
Yeah. I had the Star of David on my shirt, not literally, but figuratively. And so I vowed when I got into education, I would bring this up. And so, but my biggest mistake was going to Israel-Palestine and to see the other reality. And so then I became an enemy of the Jewish community. But no, I was their best friend. I kept saying, no, I have a double solidarity here.
But by the way, just a footnote, certainly not everybody in the Jewish community is unhappy with you. Many people absolutely delighted that you've spoken up and written as you have.
Yeah. And so I said, I have a double solidarity. As a Christian, I owe my solidarity to the humiliated. That's the fundamental stance I have. And then to the safety of the Israeli state. That's not going to go away. As Jonathan Katab says, there are 600,000 settlers on illegal land. Okay, what are we going to do now? Now that the two-state solution is right off the table, you're not going to get rid of them. So now there's a crisis in Israel. What are we going to do as the Arab birth rate begins to rise?
Yes,
the demography, they're terrified by it. So they're going to have to find ways, and ultimately it's going to have to be one state where everybody has a vote, which terrifies Israel, because you can't have a Jewish state, just like Great Britain cannot be a Christian state and everybody else is a secular.
Although it's tried desperately.
Oh, of course.
And as a matter of fact, as a Catholic, you would know how hard they try.
Yeah. So right now we're seeing desperation. And so we have this case in Toronto of the she's actually a Lebanese woman. Nadia Shoufani, who dared to speak on behalf of the Palestinians and against occupation at a public rally. And now she's out of her classroom, although she never spoke in her classroom. All she did was parrot international law and Canadian policy.
Yes.
And so this poor woman is sitting at home, humiliated, no phone calls, but I'm sure she'll be exonerated. But that's how they work. They try to put a chill in the air.
That's politics. People play rough.
People play rough. And the other side if there is another side, as I would call it, the pro-justice side, is not as organized as what I call the Jewish thought police. I mean, they've come after me, and they don't dare anymore because I have awards from B'nai B'rith for my work on behalf of the Jewish community, the human community, in putting the Holocaust out there as a serious subject to teach in schools. But what do we learn from
that? Which I hope is still the case.
Yes. What do we learn from that? Never again to anybody.
Yeah.
And how do you live with yourself?
Yeah. And now, speaking of this case of Nadia Shufani, and incidentally, I'm sorry to say, I don't know the website, but if you say petition, there is a petition by teachers
for Palestine. There is a group now.
Yeah. There's a group that is in solidarity with her.
Yeah.
I think it's particularly aimed at academics. I think they have 1,500 signatures. I saw it.
Yeah.
And I was looking into that today, and that's another thing. I know that you were, of course, an active labor person when you were a teacher.
Yeah.
And the details of the case of Nadia Shufani interest me. They head of the union, that's OECTA,
yes,
said that she is not first of all, the board says she's not suspended for anything she said.
Yeah.
Now, that's very curious, very important for listeners, everybody to know. And they said she's suspended. There seems to be a little dispute here because of noncompliance with the investigation or the beginning of the process. Now, the union, OECTA, on their part, said actually, she did comply.
She did comply, of course.
But it isn't about, at least the way the board is approaching this, they're not, so far, this is not anything to do with her speech.
Right.
It was, they had a complaint. I know how these things work. I've been involved in a lot of these.
Sure.
Where a board hears a complaint. So, okay. So then you ask the parties, and then you investigate.
Yeah.
And then you bring them into appropriate.
Right.
And, by the way, an environment in which it is more light than heat, where people have to say, do you have any evidence or not,
right,
of what type? And then remembering what the priorities are, freedom of speech is rather strongly held idea in our culture.
Yeah.
So really at this point, we don't have any substance.
No, she'll be exonerated because it's a nuisance suit. That's what they're trying to do. And, you know, boards itself, I don't care if it's a Catholic board or a Protestant board or a public board, boards are amorphous. They have no real moral center. There's good people inside of them, but there's good people in our Catholic Union, but they're making 190 grand. They're making good money. Yeah, and things go on as usual.
This is Ted Schmidt speaking.
Yeah.
Theology in a Vineyard.
They're friends of mine. I know these people. They're good people. But boards have inertia. You know, it winds down, and so you don't get that powerful moral center. So I'm hoping to meet with the board with a couple of other teachers.
Well, you can ask to be in attendance or to make a submission, right?
Well, they know me well. I've been decorated by my union, and I'm a fairly known person. I say, I'd like to meet with you, with other people. And
I would urge you to do it. Individuals can, as far as I know, make a submission.
Yeah, I think they're good people. I'm sure they'll listen. But what's been said to me by a former president, well, there's no other teacher's body that responds to this issue of Israel. I said, that's irrelevant. Why are there two systems? Why are there two systems? If the reason I got away with what I got away with, I was speaking out of a very powerful ethical stance that my baptism, my Catholicism. And so when the Toronto Sun came after me, I said, well, no, I'm getting paid to do this. I'm a religion teacher. I'm promoting the Sermon on the Mount. Now, my board never came after me.
Well, that'll get you in trouble.
Well, it does, but my board never came after me
because,
you know, what is the difference? Why would you have two school boards? You know, if the unions are doing the same, they're looking after teacher pensions, they're making sure classroom goes on.
Well, actually, you make me very glad that there is a Catholic system because the other guys are not sworn to teach the Sermon on the Mount.
No, but that's why I came, and I think
last I heard, they're not doing that.
I think that's why Nadia Shufani came into the system. She felt very strongly that she could, but she wasn't even doing this in her classroom.
She's a witness. Every time there's a public meeting and people are called on to speak, particularly outdoor meetings where they're handing microphones, It is not a pretty or easy process to do, and to somebody to try to turn that into something.
Oh,
it's
I
just
know.
It's terrible.
I mean, it's ludicrous. And I told her, I said, "Look, you're going to be exonerated, but it's frightening. You know, mm-hmm. You're treated like a pariah. Well, your fellow staff mates, they
don't
know what
to do. You know the proverb, you beat the saddle to educate the horse, right?
Yeah.
So you pick somebody and pound them.
Yeah, and hope that nobody else ever does this.
And everybody else will fall silent.
But it's dying. They're very desperate now. They don't even, the Jewish Defense League doesn't even show up at public meetings. I mean, they're losing the battle. Yeah. They've won the military battle, but they've lost the ethical and the moral value. And, you know, in all surveys, they've become a pariah state. That hurts me. I want Israel to thrive. Mm-hmm. And every Palestinian I've ever talked to say, we don't hate Jews. We just don't like Zionism.
Yeah.
We don't like the acknowledgement that we were driven out of this country in 1948. And we don't like that international law is being rejected and we can't come back. Although international law says there's the right of return.
Yes.
So they try to stereotype it as that they hate Jews.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this about the, because you raised this the matter of the Kairos. Is it Kairos?
Kairos, yeah.
Kairos, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Now, did that address apartheid in South Africa, or did that address the matter of Palestine?
In 1985, there was a very famous statement. You had Bishop Tutu, you had Bishop Hurley, you had all of the heavy guns in the Christian community mm-hmm. ask for international solidarity. So Kairos Palestine did the same thing, 2009.
Okay.
You know, and it's still an apartheid situation. Mm-hmm. But again, there's that reticence to not attack, not to go after the
state.
Well,
now that's 2009.
That's 2009.
Now you have a pope, a new pope, whom people are really quite enthralled with. I know you're an admirer
yes,
of him.
Yes, very much
now,
so.
He has, of course, become pope since 2009, right? What was the year he came in?
About 3 years, 3-4 years ago.
Yeah. So now, incidentally, he visited Israel and Palestine.
Remember that? He jumped
off. And he went to the
wall. He went right to the wall. He jumped out of his car, mm-hmm. and he went right to the wall.
Yeah.
And
so,
very powerful.
And so do you know, is he these kinds of things, is he following, for example, the there is all this issue. It's on everybody's agenda when you talk about the Middle
yeah.
East, the question of
yeah.
The West Bank and the question of Gaza.
Sure.
And matter of this kind comes up. I would assume how could this teacher who hates no one but is talking about justice.
Right.
And I would assume, how could the Catholic system have any problem with
teaching? Well, as I said, boards don't have moral centers. They get traumatized when there's a criticism. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to act. They have to go through a legal process, and the process will exonerate her because it's a nuisance suit. Everybody knows
yeah.
that.
Now, incidentally, yeah, I noticed that it's serious when somebody said, well, she spoke in praise of terrorists.
No.
Well, that's where we bump into a problem because
yeah.
if you bring the lawyers into it and say, okay, let's all produce evidence of terrorism, it's going to find out that it
yeah.
balances out rather easily, or maybe it's a little heavier on one side. But
yeah.
clearly,
yeah.
I know of two names that have always been called terrorists in the old days, Yasser Arafat and Menachem Begin.
Well,
and
Begin.
I've seen the photograph of Mr.
Oh,
Begin
sure.
shaking hands with Mr. Arafat.
Oh, sure.
So now someone who would have been saying 2 years before, our martyr, our hero, our brave fighter, Yasser
sure.
Arafat,
sure.
someone would have said, that person should be arrested for speaking of a terrorist.
Oh, absolutely. They went after him. And
he was – and well, actually, yeah. to his – you know, whatever the state of Israel or Menachem Begin might
yeah.
have said, there were certainly elements who never would speak of him except in the most, you know – violent terms.
Well, of course, that's the way.
And but we all should be reminded that the British spoke exactly that way of
right.
Menachem Begin.
Right.
So, you know, we're supposed to be looking for political solutions, and if you're going to involve recrimination forever
yeah.
and this personalized stuff,
yeah.
Obviously, it's a device to avoid peace, so that there won't be any.
They want the status quo, and mm-hmm. the status quo isn't working, and it's a terrible situation.
Well, time flies here. We've 2 minutes to go. I've got Ted Schmidt with me, and he's written, of course, two great books, but the last one, Never Neutral, we spoke to Ted. It's, of course, a teacher's
I have another life. One coming, Phil, about this issue.
About this issue?
Yeah, called I Was a Catholic Zionist, But Now I'm a Groucho Marxist.
Really?
Yes, really. Because Groucho's line was, who do you believe, me or your eyes? Now, I went as a Catholic Zionist to Israel, and my head did 180 degrees. Yeah. I saw the humiliation, and I couldn't stand it.
That has happened to a few people, actually.
It happens to a lot. All you have to do, I have to say to Jewish friends.
Well, they tell people travel is broadening.
Please go. So go and stand in the shoes. You won't last one day, and you'll come back, and your mind will be blown.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you mentioned all that. We got about a minute, I think, and Ted, you're a sport fan. I've got to ask you, what do you think of Mr. Kaepernick, who's kneeling when the American anthem is played?
Well, I think it's good. And even Obama said, well, we're living in America, and there's a diversity of opinions, and it seems to be spreading even into high schools.
He's going to be on the cover of Time magazine.
And his sweaters are flying off the shelf.
This is really good. Remarkable.
Carlson Smith.
And he's being joined by other athletes.
That's right.
And I noticed the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, who's a very rock-ribbed Republican, he said, I'm proud that my players haven't done this, which is, it's like he owns them.
Oh, yeah.
This is
Or John Tortorella, who said, if anybody did that on my bench, he'd never get on the ice.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks, John.
So and we do have a jackass column, and there's a bunch of names in it. Well, this has been the Taylor Report, and I am really glad we had Ted Schmidt here. Thank you very much, Ted.
A pleasure.
And we will see you next week.